Yeah, I've been feeling myself, God's been saying, you know, we get into a comfort zone, and we're comfortable in that comfort zone. I tell you, in my own house at home, that's my comfort zone, and it's a place of refuge, it's a place of rest, it's a place where I feel like God's put me in charge of the household there at my house. And recently, when I get out of my comfort zone, I do not feel comfortable. You ever get that way? Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, and I really have felt like God has been telling me, you know, for years, I've had one thing after another physical thing come up. And I pray for the sick, Lewis, they recover. And I see cancer go, and I see blindness go, and I see cancer of the brain go, and all like that. And, I just see wonderful things that God does. And I'm determined in my mind that I want to stop this from happening. And it's one thing after another. I'm a bird dog. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to keep fighting it. The enemy says this. The Lord told me earlier this year, we've had some difficulty in our church because we're trying to go deeper and deeper and deeper. How many of you want to go deeper with the Lord? You know, I want to go just as deep as I can go. But there are people in our church that don't want to do that, and they're not going to listen to the tape anyway, okay? So you don't have to worry about editing it or anything like that. But the thing about it is, they say we want things the way they've always been. Here's God giving me the message. I get up there and I pray about it and I write things down, and I normally don't go to what I wrote down. And I just get up there and it just flows. I listen and I speak. You got two ears to listen with, and you got one mouth to speak with. And that's what I do. And the stuff that I speak, when it's directly from the Lord, which is, I feel like it always is, people don't always agree with it. Let me give you a few statements. Listen to it. Coming from a pastor to a congregation, God's going to put people in the seats around you that aren't going to look like you. They're not going to smell like you. They're not going to have the manners that you have. They're not going to have the Christian education that you're going to have. You would have thought I had slapped them in the face. I had people come to me afterwards and say, listen, we like things the way they are around here. We don't like change. We've got a good little group here now, and we're comfortable with who we have. But you know, I found out the closer I get to God, the more God pulls me out of my comfort zone, you know? Because a church is a hospital for sinners. You know, not a country club for saints to go to. You know, it's a hospital for sinners. And here, Nancy had been challenging over 7 years. Go fill up those storehouses. Go fill up the storehouses. And I said, okay, God, look what we're going through here. You know, it seems like an impossible situation, but you know, you found out in your lives, nothing is impossible with God. Our extremities are God's opportunities to perform miracles in our lives. We can't limit God. God has no limits. So, God told me this. He said, you've been catching a lot of flack in the church. He said, I have commanded Satan not to speak to you any for a season. And I went through month after month after month just feeling great. I didn't care what people were saying about me. I didn't care one bit because Satan's voice had been silenced. But then last month, God said, that's it. He's going to be able to speak again. And you just got to be able to handle him. Now, let me tell you, if you don't already know it, Satan hates me, Satan hates you. Satan wants to get you and I in a position of compromise and weakness so he can kill, steal, and destroy. You know, it's not unusual to have one of the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal. You know, Not unusual one bit. And the thing about it is, with the old covenant, the Ten Commandments are like a noose around our neck, choking us. And then you commit one, you break one, you broke them all. Praise God, Jesus operated under the old covenant. But Jesus created the new covenant with his shed blood on the cross. And all of a sudden, grace and mercy and forgiveness was more than enough for every one of our lives that's here today. One thing God wanted me to ask you, and he said, I already know the question, answer the question. But asked everyone, do you, put your name there, do you agape me? Do you agape me? Do you agape me? See, here's what done happened. Peter done went there and he done boasted and bragged. Lord, I'm never going to leave you. Peter even cut one of the officer's ears off. Okay? Peter pretty well spoke what he thought. You know anybody like that? You know, you never have to wonder what they're thinking. They're going to tell you what they're thinking, and they're going to strongly tell you what they're thinking. And Peter said, I'm not going to let any of this happen to you. But it ended up, Peter, in his own strength, could not handle the situation. He denied Christ three times. Now, that's one thing about the Ten Commandments that is important, and it supersedes everything else. And it is, what kind of heart have you got within you? Have you got a heart that's passionate for God? Are you out for God for what he can give you and the blessings he can give you and the financial blessings and all? Now, I know I spoke last night about how God can bless you financially, and he can. And he will, but he wants 100% of our lives on top, and the thing that he desires about our relationship with him more than anything else is that we love him unconditionally. Because listen, he loves us unconditionally. He doesn't put conditions on us. I'll love you if, you know, my wife, when I was dating her, it was way back when, back 40-something years ago, 43 years ago. She never put conditions on me. She never said, well, I'll love you if you do this for me, or if you do that, or if you get me a big house and put me in it. She didn't give me any conditions. I didn't have no conditions for her. I loved her unconditionally. I loved being around her. God created us to have fellowship with him 24/7. And let me tell you something right here. It's not all about money. You know, in Malachi it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you can't receive, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. But you know what? When your heart is right, money is no longer an issue, because we know that we belong to God. Paul says we're bought with a price. We have a duty unto the Lord to serve him. So when we start giving, we're not giving our resources. We're giving resources that's already here. You know, the Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So the first thing Jesus said when he saw Peter after that, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. And Jesus asked him that three times and got answers, because here's what he was requiring of Peter. He was saying, Peter, I don't care what you've done. I don't care anything about your past failings. I've got plans for you. and I love you so much that I will empower you and I will provide for you to do that which I have called you to do. And look what all he did. Day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came. I think he had 3,000 converts, if I'm correct, on that one day. Every one of us, if we will get our hearts and our desires straight, there will be no problem with the Ten Commandments. No problems. Because Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And Jesus came with grace and with mercy, where we had no chance to keep up with the law and to do the law. Through Jesus, we do. Now, that's some people that take that as an occasion for doing what they want to do. You know, evidently, I just found out recently that when I see the Ten Commandments coming down off of courthouses and governmental buildings and all like that, I just found out then that they're no longer important anymore. They're something of the past. This is today. You know, my daughter kept telling me, "Daddy, this is the now generation. It's not your generation back when you grew up." Did he ever do that to you? He didn't? Huh? Fear. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. But I had my daughter tell me that all the time. She said, "Dad, this is the 90s. So what?" See, when Moses was told to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, "Who shall I tell Pharaoh that sent me?" He said, "Tell them I am hath sent you." He didn't say, "I was hath sent you," or "I will be hath sent you." Tell him I am. God is I am. He is the God of the now. God is not outdated in any kind of way. But then you got people today that look at the social standings. They look and they say, well, let's see, it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But that's old-fashioned and old fogey. That doesn't apply today. You know, I know of one who left their husband and had them a lover all lined up, getting behind the pulpit on Sunday, leading singing. And I had to approach this person. And this person said, "Well, listen, I just get chill bumps all over me when I'm leading worship." I started to say, "Well, let's just, if you try it again, you probably won't feel no chill bumps now. Because God hates sin, but he loves the sinner." You know, we need to take that and just realize it ourselves. When people come into church, or when we cross across people at the post office, or at the grocery store, or in the gas line, God loves every one of them, no matter how deep in sin they are. But God hates their sin. God loves you and I, but God hates our sin. God hates sin because you know what? The price that had to be paid for sin was a steep price. God sent his only begotten Son to die, listen, literally bearing my sin and yours. Just think about it. You know, you say, some days you may say, "Wow, I really feel like I got a weight on my shoulder today. I've got the weight of the world on me." Listen, Jesus had the weight of the world, everyone who had been born, everyone who was living then, and everyone who would be born. This, all those sins were on Jesus Christ. They say without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. People couldn't even get to heaven Old Testament people until Jesus took care of things there. And he went down into paradise and picked them up and took them to heaven because they could not go on the blood of animals. It did not get them there. That was to get them by into a holding pattern in the earth until Jesus could die and come down and rescue them. We've got so much to be thankful for with Jesus. We should worship him. We should love him. We steal from the Lord in so many ways. And you know, I think the greatest theft we have from God is we steal time that he wants to spend with us. God created us for fellowship. You know, and if we get the real important things straight, everything else will fall into place. We are to prioritize and give him first place because, look, people are stealing. He said, you can't have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all the heart, mind, and soul, strength. Second's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not kill. Stealing falls into every one of those areas. And we're actually stealing from what God's perfect plan is for our lives in all Ten Commandments. In one way or the other. God's created a perfect way and a perfect plan and a perfect way to heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. I thank God for grace and for mercy. When I was growing up, my dad was a staunch Christian. But I even look, I don't have his Bible with me today because I had these notes here. I preach out of my dad's Bible now. And up above the Ten Commandments, he's got up there, and it's underlined, and he's wrote it in there, thou shalt not. Growing up, I heard, thou shalt not. When I got saved on a Monday night, and I told him about getting saved, he said, well, you better remember, thou shalt not. There's things you can't do. You know what that was doing? Instead of approaching it by love, instead of love, it was by a command or a commandment. If we think that God's waiting for us to get out of line to zap us because we done broke some commandment, then we do it out of duty and not out of love. Our relationship with God and Jesus is all through love. But my early years, I went off to Bible college for a year, took music. But something was missing. Because I was doing it out of duty and not out of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. When you truly love the Lord thy God, when we can love God back to just a portion of what the love we're getting from him, that's what it's all about. You want to gets right then. It's because too many times we think, well, God's in control and he's waiting on me to get out of line and I'm going to get out of line at some point and then I'm going to pay for it. But if we get a mindset is that I love the Lord with all my heart. I attend worship because I love him. I serve him because I love him. I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven because there's no way none of us can earn our way to heaven. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't buy our way into heaven. We can't live our way into heaven. It's a free gift. Not earned by us, lest any person could boast. It's not a pendulum with good works and bad works, and whichever one's the heaviest is where you're going to go, heaven or hell. It's not. And when we go and we make it into a relationship, then we can stand any of the storms of life. And we can truly be in a position where God has put us. He created us to have fellowship with Him. Lewis, I know on that truck a lot of days, you may be by yourself, and you're going back and forth. You're by yourself as far as human beings, but the Spirit of the living God gives you fellowship, teaches you. You worship Him. You feel His presence. You feel His protection. He gives you revelation knowledge. You know, you don't have to be in a church to get revelation knowledge from the Lord. You don't have to get in church to feel the presence of the Lord. God is everywhere. You can't get away from Him. He is everywhere. And if we would but live our lives knowing that and having sweet fellowship with Him, you know, I'm here saying, "Here am I, Lord, teach me, send me, love me, forgive me." Because that's the worst thing in the world that a Christian can have, is broken fellowship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything without them. I can't get up here and stand in front of you without them. I can't do it. I used to sing at funerals. And I get up there and I sing, and the anointing would be all over me, and people start crying and just minister to. And I thought, wow, I'm doing pretty good here, moving all these emotions in these people. Then all of a sudden I got up there at a funeral, feeling good about myself, and the anointing was not there. I learned the hard way. See, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage that we have on us. And then all of a sudden we're in the heavenly realm where we can hear, where we can see, where it's not just the things, the natural things that we can see, but we can see the invisible world. You know, they say once you can see the invisible world, it changes everything. I mean, right now, Psalm 91:11, "And he should give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways." I got angels right around me, surrounding me. And it's not because I'm somebody special. Every one of you have got angels. God has given you angels to protect you. Have you ever wondered when something was supposed to be done, took your life out, and you get spared for something? That's the angel right there looking out for you and caring for you. Clay, when I'm on, I didn't mean to spit on you. Amen. I missed you. Okay. You know, that's anointed spit, yeah. But I'll try to go this way a little bit. I looked then and I said, wait a minute, man. Right. But Clay, I remember on planes. I used to not like to get on planes. You know, it's just something about being compartmentalized in that certain small area. And so many people, I know how my wife would say a lot of times, she says, "I get into a group of people and I don't feel comfortable and I get panic attacks." You know, and I thought when she said that, I thought, wow, how do you do that? But I'm beginning to experience some of the things that my wife has experienced in the past. We're on that plane coming over. Clay was on there too, coming over here. And I got to looking and I said, oh my goodness, look at all these people. It's about like a sardine can filled up with sardines. You know how they pack sardines into sardine cans? And I thought, look at this mass humanity in here. Goodness gracious me. And it took me years. And Clay, let me tell you what happened. Many years ago, God called me to India to preach. I've got someone that we help support in South India. He's got 100 pastors, 100 churches under his leadership in South India. God said, I want you to go there. I said, okay, I'll go there. And then I got to thinking about it. Going to be about 27 hours in the air. And I said, Lord, you've called me to go. I'm going, but God, I'm not happy about it. I'm fearful. I was fearful of heights. See, here's what happened when I was growing up. In Georgia, Michael, Michelle, Debbie, Tom, we're from Georgia. And you hear the saying, they're high as a Georgia pine. Well, that person's high as a Georgia pine. We got Georgia pines all over the landscape. And my cousin, who's about 4 years older than I am, came over to my house one day. And he said, let's climb this pine tree. Fine. I was going up it, and as long as I looked up at him in front of me, I was determined I was going to go just as high in that pine tree as he was. He got to the very top. Well, nowhere to go but down. I looked down, and I got butterflies all in my stomach. I grabbed a hold of that pine tree and hugged onto it. My legs were going like this, and I thought, I done got up here and it wasn't so rough, but the spirit of fear came in me. An overwhelming fear of heights. And I battled with that. I got down out of the tree. Didn't have to get a crane or anything to get me down, you know. But I got down out of the tree, but I had a problem with heights ever since then. And in order to do that, we had to go on several planes. That's my angels there. That's my angels there. Somebody trying to sell something. Okay, that's fine. Push that button, yeah. Let me ask you something. Do you have Siri on your phones? You do? Some of you do, some of you don't. I would take this into church on Sunday, and I'd have two people who would send me text. One of them says, I had to work the shift last night at the nursing home. I'm not going to be there today. Please pray for me. And I had another one on there. I'm not going to be there. I need your prayers. Well, here's what started happening. I had it on just like it was on there. And then I'd start speaking. And Siri would be listening to me speaking. I wouldn't push the button. I wouldn't push the Siri button down here. And I'd use a word or something that says, the meaning of that word is all over the church. And everybody's looking, what in the world? So I got to the point where no longer did I take my phone anymore. And people, I would answer their text in the afternoon. I don't think one person, they liked it very well because they wanted their names included in the prayer time. You know, I started to say, well, come on to church, you'll be right there. You know, because it had turned into a substitute for being in church. I tell you what, pastors know every trick in the book. Believe me, they know every trick in the book, and they know every excuse in the book. And you can come on in there and use those excuses. I wasn't there. I'm not going to be there Sunday because of this, that, and the other. And you say, well, didn't I see them out in the rain at the ball game just a couple of days ago? We've got a roof over our church, and we've got heating, and we've got air conditioning. But yet they go out in a cold rain, a sweltering hot game. It's where your priorities are, where your heart is. What Jesus says, a man thinking in his heart, so is he. It's easy to hide your heart from a lot of people. But let me tell you, genuine, born-again Christians can see right through your excuses. Right through them. We're going to find a way. You know, some people say, I don't have money to do that, Pastor. You know what I think? You don't have money to give? Well, no wonder you don't have any money. Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. You know, there was a pastor in Haiti. Haiti, one of the most impoverished nations in the world. There was a pastor there, and he did not require anything of his members. Nothing. And they had nothing. And the Lord spoke to him and said, listen, they've got to give me something to work with. They've got chickens, don't they? They've got animals, don't they? You get them to bring that to church and give to the church, and I will bless them. Preacher started preaching that. They started bringing those animals as a form of tithes and offerings. God started blessing them. Let me tell you, God's word is yes and amen. He's true, and he stands by what he says, you know? God started blessing that church then. You can't take shortcuts with God. But the reason God says he loves a cheerful giver, if your heart is right, you're going to cheerfully give. Amen. I look and I say, my goodness, God, all of this came from you. And I'm just giving back a portion of what you done already give me to use in this world. You know, think about it this way. The house you live in, the car you drive, the niceties that you got, there's no funeral home that's got storage compartments that's going to follow your coffin to the grave. Now, I know some people stuff their coffins full so they think they're going to have something on the other side. But you were naked when you came in this world. And you're going to be naked when you go out of this world. Anything that we have is just on loan from God to equip us, to shelter us, and to bless us while we're still here on this earth. And what we accumulate is not going to amount to nothing, but what we do for the Lord, moths can't take away and thieves can't take away, and they are eternally secure in heaven. Nobody can take them away. And those people that are putting away treasures in heaven, as Christians, we know who they are. Because they're like-minded. They have love. Instead of being boastful, they're servant attitudes. You know, the world's got a bunch of boastful people anymore. The world's got a lot of people that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I want to push in just as far as I can to the glory of God, to the will of God, to the perfect will of God. You know, God's told me a lot of times, he said, and just like this, going through what I'm going through now, with these tears just coming, and then my what's the name of the disease? The eye disease is glaucoma. Glaucoma, pushing up with pressure, and the optic nerve starts getting, you know, hit on, and then you lose your sight. Out of all the five senses, I would hate to lose eyesight more than any of the rest of the senses. I'd hate to be blind. I hate to be going around and just seeing black all the time, darkness all the time. I would hate that. And I'm not going to that, believe me. Not with your prayers that's going up, not with my prayers that's going up. I'm not going there. God's just, this is going on for a season right here. You look up here and you think he sure is crying a lot. My eyes are leaking a lot. But I'm not going to let it stop me. Amen. I almost let it stop me coming here. I told my wife, I said, if I don't feel any better on Tuesday, because I got up and I preached like this Sunday, and just pouring down with water coming out, feeling tired, feeling drained. And I preached, out of the Word, out of Exodus, how God and how Moses took the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. You know, and it's a lot of reading. That I did. And I was looking through and dabbing and looking and dabbing and looking and dabbing. But I told my wife on Sunday, I said, let me tell you, and I'm being honest. I'm being truthful to you. If I don't feel any better on this Tuesday, there is no way I can go. Because, see, something else doesn't happen too. And praise God, it's not going on right now. I had asthma as a child. I get in there in that bed at night, and that asthma start coming on, not being able to breathe. And I'd holler out, Mama, Daddy, help me. And they'd come down and start praying, lay their hands on me and pray, give me some Vicks vapor rub and put it on my chest and put it in this vaporizer. And I'd get over it and I'd breathe it in. I know what sickness is, and I know what the fear of sickness is. Last week, I told my wife I must have done the unpardonable sin. And she said, what was that? I said, when I grilled that hamburger and ate it, a small hamburger, I had done committed the unpardonable sin because I had GERD that night, which is your acids in your stomach coming right on up, going over, going in my ears, my nose, up to here, and spilling over into my bronchial tubes. And then all of a sudden you're fighting for every breath you got. That God took care of, because I could not have made it with that. But Satan uses fear tactics from our past experiences, and he's saying, you mess with me, I'm going to bring it on you again. But let me tell you, greater is he that's in me and in you than he that is in the world. We got to put Satan in this right spot. He is a defeated foe. And we have a name that brings victory. We have a name that brings healing. We have a name that brings deliverance. We have a name that brings salvation. We have a name that brings abundant life. Praise the holy name of Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. Like Nancy said last night, there is no name that adds up to the name of Jesus. It's time to start declaring the name of Jesus and putting the enemy in his rightful place. He's a liar. He's a thief. The truth's not in him. See, that's three things, three of the Ten Commandments right there he goes breaking. Why would God address that with us? It's because Satan represents all of that. So when somebody lies to you, a human being, do you find that you have trouble believing them ever after that again? You know, I know of somebody and their boss continually lied to her. And her heart is broken and she doesn't know if she can believe what she hears now. Because she's been lied to so many times. So many times. Stealing from God. It's not all about money. It's really about your heart. Are you sold out? How are your priorities? Because you're robbing God if you accept his permissive will instead of his perfect will. God's got a perfect will. He's got a plan with our lives planned out, and that way we can go from glory to glory to glory. It's all worked out with him. But you know, God has told me this. He said, if you can't stand the heat, when I bring you to the next level, I will allow you to stay at the level you're at now and live out the rest of your life. But you will not have the glory and the peace and the satisfaction and the communication with me under the permissive will that you can have with my perfect will. Yeah. Yeah. See, the word says, my sheep, they know my voice. The Lord goes before us and says, this is the way, walk in it. Come on, come on. He's not going to holler it out like I'm hollering out here. It's that still, small voice that gives direction, gives edification. And too many times, the world chokes out the still, small voice of the Lord. We were created to be more than conquerors. We were created to go out and do battle in Jesus' name and come out victorious. That's what we were created for. And it's a lie out of hell that would tell us anything less than us being our best in him. Thou shalt not steal. Ten Commandments, grace and mercy. New covenant versus the old covenant. Not a bunch of legalistic works, but love, agape love from deep within us. That's what it's all about. And we don't mind it when God gives us difficult tasks in. Because we love him so much, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to love you, I want to be with you, I want to hear your voice. When I pray, God, I want to speak a little bit and let you speak a lot. You know, a lot of times we get talking about we got so many wants. God, I need this. God, you know what? If you give me this, it'll make it a whole lot easier for me to serve you. Give me this, this, and this, God, and boy, can't nobody stop me. God's up there waiting to talk back to us, to give us direction, to tell us how much he loves us, to give us assignments for lost people where we can make a difference in their world. We were there praying before we came up here. I mean, it was powerful. I didn't want to leave that room. The anointing was flowing in such a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit. I tell you what, when you operate out of a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit of the Lord, it is going to melt people's hearts a whole lot better than saying, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't change. And let me tell you, I got my act together. You better get your act together. Don't you going to be forever hellbound. How many people is that going to draw? Debbie, would you react to that? Would you react in a positive way or in a negative way? It'd turn you off, wouldn't it? Turn me off in a minute. Too much of the church today is doing that, though. They're pointing their fingers. They're judging when they don't know the complete situation. You know, Bible says what? Judge not, lest we be judged. You want to bring judgment on yourself? Start judging other people. Jesus is the judge. You know, God is the judge. And what we've got to do, we've got to love people into the kingdom of God. Amen. Love them into the kingdom. Does somebody have a watch? I was scared to touch my phone. It may start ringing again. 20 after 2. I was supposed to do this for 45 minutes. I've been up here for 50 minutes. Because started at 1:30. What kind? Yours says 2:30. Oh, that's an hour. Really? Now, y'all are saying, y'all's is saying this, that, and another. I ain't heard it say a thing. Oh, we didn't start 9:45. Okay, about 2:30. So that's the 45 minutes there. So where did I stop? Where did I end up at? About the what? Oh, I said I didn't hear the clock say anything. That's what I said. I didn't hear him. Did you hear him say 2:30? What kind of questions do you have? Is that clear? Is that pretty clear, or have I just jumbled things all up here?
Well, when you talked about fear.
Yeah.
Fear. The black bear represents fear.
Okay.
We tried with all of our hearts to see the black bear yesterday.
Yeah.
And there was no reason we could have seen the bear. No reason to fish were in more than anything else.
Yes. No fear. You saw no fear, representation of fear. Oh, you're right. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes, yes, ma'am. Sure. Okay, all right. God created us with a perfect plan for our lives. It's completely His plan, and it's His number one plan that He's got for us. However, God also has a permissive will, where He will allow us to live less than that perfect plan that He's got, out of His grace and out of His mercy. God told me this. He said, if you want to sit down the rest of the time and retire, do it. You're still going to heaven, but you're not going to experience the joy that I've got laid up for you. You're not going to experience the ministry that I got laid up for you. The people that I've set aside for you to interact with, they're going to go lacking if I can't send somebody else across the path. See, God's got people for us to have divine moments of interaction where we make the difference in their lives. Right. You know, if it wasn't for my parents praying for me, if it wasn't for somebody praying for you, we probably wouldn't be here today. Probably wouldn't be Christians. Somebody prayed for us to get us into the kingdom of God, you know? And God has got special moments designed if we will but walk in His perfect will. Like, here's a good way to do it. You start a day, and you start that day, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Lord, I pray for moments of opportunity today to be used of you. And if you pray that and you really mean it and you put Him your top priority for that day, He will send situations and people across your path, and then He'll even tell you what to say to them. Somebody living in the permissive will of God, they're not going to search God to see what opportunities you're going to give me that day. You know, you've got people there that are saying, all right, I've got my agenda for today. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, don't interrupt because I'm going to do my thing today. They really do. You know, so permissive versus perfect will of God. We're ready if you are.